CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. The headline in the Wall Street Journal is stark. U.S. panel calls for review of China trade relations. The story, in its annual report, the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission recommended that Congress direct the Biden administration to assess China's compliance with the landmark 1999 agreement that awarded China, quote, permanent normal trade relations status as Beijing prepared to join the World Trade Organization. Gordon, this is all unfamiliar language to me, but it reaches back more than two decades. Is this a surprise to you, Gordon?
People in Congress, including Congressman Chris Smith, have been talking about withdrawing PNTR, permanent normal trade relations, from China because of its theft of U.S. intellectual property and also because its failure to adhere to World Trade Organization obligations. So eventually this was going to bubble through.
And we welcome our colleague, Alan Tonelson, who is our guide on trade and manufacturing, has been these many years, the years that cover this period reaching back to 1999. And Alan, this is surprising to me because we're talking about starting all over again, reviewing China as a bad actor in trade and to do with transparency. Are you surprised by this, Alan? Good evening to you.
Hi, John, and hi, Gordon. I'm a little bit surprised, although not overwhelmingly so. This U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission has long been one of Washington's most insightful, most authoritative voices on U.S.-China policy, all aspects of it. And its members have to be approved by the leaderships of both parties in Congress. So it's an awfully good bellwether for where congressional opinion stands right now. And the fact that this group is now calling for reviewing the U.S. decision to grant China normal trade status, the kind of trade relations status that practically every other U.S. trade partner enjoys, because it more or less adheres to globally agreed upon and globally followed trade rules. That's, again, quite the milestone, because it would basically overturn 20 years of U.S.-China trade relations.
20 years of China trade relations, Gordon, have always been in the debate. I had no idea that they could go back to the beginning, to that WTO decision. Remember how often that's been mourned, that decision, these last decades? Are they talking about rolling back all the way to the starting gun, Gordon?
Yes, they are. And that would mean annual reviews of China's trade status. This was ended by President Clinton. And what it did was Clinton delinked human rights and other concerns from trade. Many people thought that that would be good in the long term. Obviously, it hasn't been. So there is this move, and it's going to take some time to actually be come to fruition. But there is this move to again link the two.
What would the practical effect be, Gordon? Would this mean that the trade between China and the U.S. is suspect, that there are more additional tariffs, that China is an outlier to our allies? And what would the effect be?
I think that essentially what we would have is this annual review of China's conduct, and it would be linking trade with everything else. So there would be much more discussion about China. It would be periodic. And I think it would put some pressure on China to actually conform to norms, though it may not have quite as much effect as their opponents hope. Nonetheless, it is a step in the right direction, John.
Alan, would this in some fashion bolster the manufacturing base in the United States and our allies because we're reviewing China's? Well, in the past, there has been the anecdotes about dumping practices. Would that strengthen the hands of the U.S. manufacturers?
Absolutely. And there have certainly there's certainly been much more evidence compiled as to China's predatory trade practices, not just limited to anti-dumping by any means, but there have been annual reports by the U.S. Trade Representative's Office that have detailed China's trade and broader economic predation. What gets really interesting here is that, legally speaking, it's not quite clear whether the United States would be legally entitled, according to World Trade Organization rules, to withdraw normal trade relations status from China while still staying in the World Trade Organization's good graces. At the same time, China's ability to retaliate will be greatly limited because President Trump's administration essentially defanged, declawed the World Trade Organization's enforcement mechanism. So China can file suits until kingdom come, but they're simply not going to go anywhere. And it's going to come back to the question of which country has the most leverage, has the most power relative to the other. And in my view, certainly China needs the United States and its market, or what it has left of this market, much more than the United States needs China. So it could be a major win for the U.S. economy's productive sectors, including and in particular U.S. manufacturing.
Gordon, you have a question.
Alan, this really would be another signal to manufacturers that they've got to move their supply chains out of China. I mean, we've seen this recently with Apple's decision to start buying chips, and not in Taiwan, but in the United States. And that is a real sign, I think, that companies are starting to understand the geopolitical risk of being in Asia. So really what we've got right now would be, if this were to come to pass, and I don't think it will in the Biden administration, but what we would really be seeing is the U.S. government saying it's time to leave China. Your comments.
I think that's an excellent interpretation of how this step would be viewed by the American manufacturing community. It would be the strongest signal yet of the U.S. determination to keep holding China to account for its predatory trade practices, for its adamant refusal to act like a normal, reasonably free trading nation. And this signal, I think, would really cause a very significant exodus of U.S. owned companies from China, not necessarily back to the United States, but certainly to other relatively low cost production platforms all around the world, hopefully including the Western Hemisphere. The more the United States can hemisphereize its trade patterns, the better off the U.S. economy will be, and the better the U.S. immigration picture will look as well.
Gordon, this article in the Wall Street Journal suggests that this is more than trade and supply chains. I read from a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute who was appointed to the commission by Kevin McCarthy, the presumed future leader of the House of Representatives, the Speaker. Mr. Wong is his name. The 20th Party Congress this year in China was clarifying for China's ambitions and Xi's ambition. It was also clarifying for the United States and our partners about the need to critically evaluate our posture towards China. So, Gordon, this is not going to be just kept to trade and manufacturing. We're going to look at all of China's malign activities. Is that correct?
That's correct, John. I mean, there is a reassessment in Washington about China. You're starting to see a consensus. In that consensus, there may not be full agreement on what to do, but nonetheless, the perception has changed on China. The 20th National Congress certainly helped solidify that consensus, and we're now finally moving in a much better direction on China.
And Alan, is this about Taiwan? Is that what we're looking at here, using trade as a non-kinetic opponent to China's activities threatening our ally?
It's certainly in part about Taiwan, and Taiwan is so distinctive because its fate will bear so heavily not only on U.S. national security and the future of U.S. grand strategy in East Asia, which is still one of the world's most economically dynamic regions. It will bear significantly on the U.S. economy and U.S. global technological leadership, because Taiwan is the country that knows how to make the world's most advanced semiconductors, which are used widely in not only U.S. weapon systems, but practically every device that every American uses in their day-to-day lives. And again, this report And this recommendation for withdrawing normal trade status is a very important message being sent to China that both parties in Congress, the leaderships of both parties in Congress, have decided to draw maybe not a bright red line, but a pretty pretty bright, let's say, maroon line, telling China that the days of indiscriminate engagement and the days of reckless trade and investment expansion are very much over.
And Gordon, the last 30 seconds, does this extend to our allies looking again at China as an untrustworthy trade partner? I'm looking at NATO and Europe in particular.
Everything that the United States does with regard to China is followed by our friends and partners, because the president, whoever that person is, does signal. And, you know, we saw this at the G20, John, where Biden spoke to Xi Jinping, and then five of our allies then sat down and spoke to Xi Jinping. It's basically we're setting the tone on this.
Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang and our colleague Alan Tonelson, who blogs on manufacturing and trade at Reality Check. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.